All right, here we go, everyone. Let's build that energy. Reverend James, hit the music.
Mountains of North Carolina. This week, we welcome our special guest, Miss Elizabeth of the Solar Moon Sisters and SolarMoonSisters.com in Cincinnati, Ohio, bringing us today's topic, Tarot for Shadow Work. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our host, Reverend Art of FolkConjure.com in North Carolina, and our guest, Miss Elizabeth. Make sure you're logged in to Blog Talk Radio and join in on the discussion via the chat. Now let's catch up with our host, Reverend Art. Take it away.
Thank you, Reverend James, for that fantastic intro. And welcome, everybody, to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places here for our second shiny new episode. You know, a lot of great stuff going on, and I personally have been very excited for our guest to join us today and for this topic, the Tarot for Shadow Work. You know, shadow work is such a hot topic, and you hear so much about it, you know, in all walks of life. And to be able to bring this to everybody is just, to me, a fantastic opportunity. Before we get moving, though, let's go back to Reverend James. What's new with you, Reverend James?
A lot. So if you follow the Hoodoo Rootwork Hour at Lucky Mojo, you heard yesterday that we have been playing with our new CNC machine. And we were able to test it out and got a really nice dragon relief etching into some wood. So we're excited to try some new things and create some things for everybody. And we've also been doing a lot of work with the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. We just put out a new video. Go check it out on YouTube. You can find it on all of the normal places that you find our shares, such as AIR and Readers and Root Workers. And also we have uncovered 20 old videos from past year's Hoodoo Heritage Festivals and classes and workshops, and those will soon be revived and added to our brand new Hoodoo Workshops website. If you haven't been there, go check it out. You can buy all of the past Hoodoo Workshops, Hoodoo Heritage Workshops that have been done in the past, for just $25 a piece, and you can, if you decide that you want to, you know, enjoy the whole festival, if you missed it in the past, you can get that at a nice discount.
That's actually really exciting, you know, to have found this treasure trove of previous presentations that, you know, in any other way would have been lost to time. I'm really looking forward to those coming out and being added to the HoodooWorkshops.com site and taking a look at them all myself. You know, and like you mentioned, the Hoodoo Heritage Festival is definitely coming up fast, June 10th and 11th. So we've all been hard at work behind the scenes, making sure we bring yet another wonderful show to everybody. You know, the Reader's Tent will be open again virtually, of course. And there's a great lineup of characters that will be joining us, one of which will be on with us next week. We'll get more into that a little bit later on. But now let's turn to our guest for today, Miss Elizabeth from Cincinnati, Ohio. And how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys doing?
Hey, we're rocking and rolling. So excited for you to be here with us. You know, putting it out there, Beth and I have known each other for quite some time, and I've been personally very excited and inspired by her journey through the tarot and building her offerings to the world. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about that, because it's been a really interesting journey. And how did you really get started in working with the tarot and providing your services?
It's actually interesting. The way I got started was the same year my child was born. I was really looking to get back to my own personal identity. It's kind of, you always hear people talking about how after you become mommy, you have to figure out how to be yourself again. And I just really got interested in tarot. So I went on to Amazon, actually, and just looked at tarot to see what they had, and I was, like, instantly overwhelmed, right? And so I saw the Miss Cleo deck, and I immediately remembered from when I was a kid, Miss Cleo being on late-night TV. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to go with that one. That one seems safe and comfortable. So I got the deck, and I got a book by Michelle T, I believe, and as one would expect, had zero time to do anything with it because I had a newborn, and it kind of fell to the wayside for a little while, and then I started with the Kawaii Tarot and the Modern Witch Tarot, and that kind of changed everything. That was a big catalyst. From there, I started offering readings to friends, just seeing, you know, if they would let me practice, just kind of like, hey, guys, take this with a grain of salt. I have no idea what I'm doing, but, you know, let me try. But it was really crazy because, like, the readings would resonate and things would happen. And with that, I just kind of started doing it more and more until I had a friend tell me, like, you really need to be charging people for this. And I was like, no way, no way. And she was like, no, like, you're spending a lot of time with us doing this. I'm like, this is really, really helpful. Like, you're really helping us with this. Like, I have a friend who literally refers to it as magical therapy. So I was like, okay, I guess, you know, and from there, it allowed me to kind of expand because I had more freedom because there was, you know, money coming in with it, and I could get different styles of decks and things that spoke to people more, and it kind of grew from, like, just the classic, like, mind, body, spirit, or past, present, future, to doing larger intuitive readings and doing, you know, year ahead, helping people start their shadow work path. Things like that, and then it's kind of continued to blossom from there to where now I'm doing workshops and going to be doing focus groups and, goodness, let's see, I'm authoring an oracle deck. I mean, there's so much has changed seemingly quickly. It seems like it's forever when you're building it up, but then it's just, like, really, really fast when you stop and look at it.
That's awesome. And, you know, a lot of people wonder, you know, how it is that we all start along our paths and everything. And there's such a plethora of information out there. It's really, it does seem very overwhelming at first when you're sitting in a bookstore and just looking at this case of countless books, just
Yeah.
It's like you don't know where to start. And so it kind of goes back to what you were saying when you, the first time you went to look for your deck, looking at it online, and I'm sure there were many, many, many pages of options available. So that's really awesome. And, you know, having been a part of this journey with you and being able to watch, you know, just the growth, taking that time to truly be, you know, honest with yourself and looking at it from a pragmatic standpoint and not being hard on yourself, you know, feeling like, oh, I should be doing this. I should be learning this more. I should be focusing on this. You know, it's really, we all come to it at our own pace and we all come to it at our own time. And from what I can gather, you've definitely come to it at just the right time for yourself, you know, and you've started to host these tarot workshops there in the Cincinnati area, if I recall, at the hopefully I don't murder this name. It's hosted at the Benninghoffen House.
Yeah. So there is a 3-part series that we're doing right now. The first one is Tarot for Yourself. So the first one is literally just about, you know, here's a tarot deck. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about some of the easy spreads that you can do when you're kind of having one of those days where you can't quite put your finger on what's wrong or how to navigate a situation. And so you can, you know, bust out your tarot cards and do one of these readings and try to connect with how you're really feeling. With that particular workshop, we did the Broke Bitch Tarot deck, because that one is really great because the keywords are, it's hilarious. The keywords are right on the cards, and the symbolism is really simplified. It's made to really get to the point of what the card is. So it's a really good one for beginners because it's not as overwhelming as, you know, all the colors and symbolism that can be in the classic, like, Rider-Waite system, or heaven forbid you start with, like, the Toss Kit heaven forbid you try to start with that one, because then you'll really be confused. But, you can just kind of start quickly so anyone can pick up and do it for themselves. The second workshop is actually coming up this Friday, and it is on journaling with tarot for self-love. So really when it comes down to it, it's about shadow work, because the point of it is the greatest form of self-love is basically eliminating the ways we sabotage ourselves. And it really focuses on that. It focuses on the shadow work side of those things that we do that are self-defeating behaviors. And it's, again, just taking tarot cards and really having a deck you connect to and sitting down with them and studying, you know, what does this reading make me feel? Why do I feel this way? And that just gets into the classic, like, idea of shadow work.
From what I understand, your workshops have been met with some very high levels of excitement, not just from the venue, but from the community at large there in the Cincinnati area. They sell out, and they sell out quickly.
Yeah, it's been really exciting. The first one sold out pretty quickly. The second one sold out like the first week we had it listed. We did have a couple of cancellations. I haven't checked. I should have checked today. But we did have 2 cancellations due to a schedule conflict. So if those are still available and somebody missed out on tickets, they should absolutely scoop those up. But they've been really fun. We just put up the 3rd one as well. And I don't think it's sold out yet, but it's definitely been moving tickets. All of the tickets are available on the Benninghoffen House website, which is just benninghoffenhouse.com. And there is a menu link there for events. So all of the ticketing and everything is done directly through the venue. The third workshop
is actually...
Oh, that definitely
makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. Thank you for posting that, Reverend James. The third workshop is actually on tools for tarot. So it's going to be really fun. It's going to be kind of elevating the tarot experience. And that's the cool thing is the workshops kind of build on each other, but you don't have to take them. Like, you don't have to take 1, 2, and 3, and you don't have to take them in any order. So, like, in the future, if people miss one, they don't, you know, they're not missing out. But the third one is on tools, and so it's going to go over, like, how you can read a reading with the addition of runes or charm casting or an oracle deck or adding in a pendulum reading. So all just different tools you could add in, and then everybody will get to take home one of those tool sets. All of the workshops have something fun to take home. They're a good time.
That's fantastic. That's really fantastic. And I love the progression that you've built into this process. This, you know, learning the tarot can be a very daunting sort of a system for people, especially it's like, do I read the book by this author, or do I read the book by this author, or do I go online, and, you know, and then really providing finding the opportunities, I should say, to be able to step out and really start providing those readings to get the feedback. And it's this whole cycle, and you've really built this really isn't a class per se anymore, individual classes. It's really like a course that you've built. And I for one, really wish that we lived somewhat closer and I would be taking up one of those tickets in a heartbeat myself.
Well, the good news is I am getting to record them in the future. I'm currently working on the details for that, but I do want to record them because a lot of the people I read for are online. They're not local to the area, and they do want to take these workshops. So it is something I'm looking into. I just want to make sure that if I'm offering it, I'm offering it at, like, a decent quality. And then there's also, you know, with the workshops now, you get these take-home items. So I don't know how I want to work that out. I don't know if I want to mail these things to people who take the courses. I don't know. So I'm open to feedback about that for people who are interested in the online courses.
So what I'm hearing from that is definitely to stay tuned to Solar Moon Sisters website at solarmoonsisters.com and to be following you on social media at Solar Moon Sisters on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, I believe.
We're everywhere.
definitely got to check out and watch for these updates. That's actually really just an immense amount of work, but to be able to provide the learning experience in a safe place and in a way that you can connect with these individuals is really phenomenal. And we truly, like myself for sure, appreciate those who take the time to do it right and to really provide that experience for your clients, your students, and whomever else may cross your path. That's wonderful. So are you working on any additional courses past the third one?
Not currently. From there, it's going to break into smaller focus groups of probably 5 students. And we're going to do, you know, it'll be more for people who are focused on learning tarot beyond using it just for themselves or for people who do want that feedback on their personal reads and a smaller group setting, because it's hard to get that one-on-one time with an instructor if the group size is large. So I definitely want to be able to offer those smaller focus groups as well.
Oh, that's even better. Excellent. Do you have a relative starting date estimated for those?
Yes. Yes, I do. I'm hoping to start them sometime in the spring. I've already figured out where we're going to have them. There is a cute coffee house in Hamilton, Ohio called the French Coffee House. They are super cool. They actually have a really cool mission. Their entire goal is to help people after like serving time in prison come back out, have these life skills and job skills. Of learning, you know, everything from actually being a barista and serving food and things like that, but also the managerial and business side as well. So, you know, it can be really daunting when you come out of the system to reenter into the job force. And so it's really amazing that they have this mission. But they have a beautiful space. They converted this, you know, one of the classic Hamilton homes and turn it into this really cool coffee shop, and we're going to be using one of the rooms there for the study group.
That's outstanding, and what a cool addition to the business landscape for Hamilton and the region as a whole. I'm always impressed by these sorts of businesses, and to be able to partner with them and providing a growth tool while helping to shed light on an industry that's really there to help others. It's just, to me, that it's a nice little package all wrapped in a bow.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes the coffee and tarot to like a whole new meaning.
Wonderful. So let's talk a little bit more about you. So since you started your journey, what would you say, have you noticed many changes in your life, or, you know, how have things progressed, how have things improved for you?
Well, I will say that, you know, it gets into classic, as above, so below, that if you're wanting to do something like this, it's very empowering, but it also requires you to, you know, do your own shadow work. So I've personally had a lot of growth. You know, I recommend therapy to everyone. Worked through some of my own shadow work, both with tarot and with a therapist. And that has just really been a big changing point for my life. In order to really connect with your spiritual tools, you have to do the hard work. You know, anybody can pick it up, but it's really about connecting to what you're doing, and you can't do that if you're running away from yourself. So I had to spend a lot of time growing as a person and spiritually so that I could offer better services to clients and just for myself.
Well, you know, that's really a salient point that you make is, you really have to build that connection with yourself. You have to have the comfortability, the self-love, the self-trust to be able to offer these services to those who come to us for help. You never know when you pick up the phone what's going to be on the other end of the line. You know, you don't know what situations you're going to be presented with. And really spending
Absolutely.
The time to put this all together and to build that framework is really the key to a very, I don't want to say it, you know, ethical and empathic practice. And from what I'm understanding, you know, it really feels like that you've built that and are doing a very good service to the Cincinnati region. Now, you did mention, too, you're also authoring a tarot deck?
I'm not authoring a tarot deck. It is actually an oracle deck. And I can't talk too much about it by name, but basically it is an artist who has some really cool artwork, and a lot of it really lended itself to tarot themes, and myself and a few others had been harassing them about doing it. And then we kind of, you know, gently nudged him that way. And then he reached out to me and was like, hey, you know, do you want to offer it? I don't know anything about this side of it. And I was like, absolutely. Yes, please. You just get me the images and we'll make it work.
Is there a tentative release date for this up-and-coming deck? Is it a, like a Kickstarter sort of a thing? Or?
I don't believe so. He does a lot of his own printing currently, so I imagine he's going to do it elsewhere. And I'm just looking at the chat here. It actually is not the Shadowwork deck. The Shadowwork deck that's down there is actually by a friend of mine named Mary, and she is amazing. This is a totally separate thing. Definitely don't want to make it sound like I'm tied to that in any way, because she is amazing and that is her baby.
And actually,
we actually have a few questions here.
Yeah, some of it has been, the chat chugs along while we go. So definitely we'll jump into there and get to some of the questions here momentarily. But I didn't quite catch. Was there a tentative release date?
There, I don't know for sure. I know it is not a pressing thing. He's working through a lot of his original characters and content to make it as complete of a deck as possible. So I'm just kind of along for the ride at his pace.
As are we all with most things in life. You know, it's just... It's really amazing, though, to go from I kind of want to do this to I'm going to do this in such a short time. It's here's my website, here's my clients, here's workshops, here's the small student study groups and the focus groups, authoring a deck. It's really been a whirlwind year. And what do you attribute to the success that you've seen thus far?
Oh, goodness. I would have to say when it really comes down to it, it's just, I mean, of course, the hard work, but also just, I don't know, I'm kind of an all or nothing person. So when I decide to do something, I'm just like all in. Like, I'm just like, okay, let's do it. I've, you know, built this really amazing little spiritual community around me, very supportive. You know, I'm not afraid to ask questions, and I tend to bug the crap out of my friends in that way. Like, guys, this is way outside of my wheelhouse. Tell me all the things. I don't know. I like to learn a lot nonstop, and then I'm also just constantly doing my own shadow work for spiritual growth. And I feel like that's a important factor, is like people tend to think that shadow work in general is like a one and done, and it's not. It's more like an onion, and you keep peeling layers, and, you know, it's constantly coming back in cycles and going, okay, I think that's healed, but maybe it's not. Maybe I just got really angry about something, even though it's completely unrelated, you know? So it's, I think just really focusing a lot on shadow work and integrating self and all of that has really made it to where I'm a more complete me. And so it makes what I can offer to others better.
Fantastic. You know, I want to dedicate as much time as we can to the full topic for today and really get into the tarot for shadow work. So I think this would probably be a good time to take a pause and take a message from our sponsors, and we'll be right back and get into fully the subject of tarot for shadow work.
Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted root worker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Thank you to all of our sponsors, and back to you, Reverend Art.
Thank you, Reverend James. So let's really dig into shadow work. A lot of people hear the term, and it sounds kind of daunting. It sounds a little bit scary. Why don't you walk us through a little bit of truly what is shadow work? What is it? What does this process look like in a general sense?
I think it's fair to say that shadow work can be a little bit daunting and scary. And that's because it's always much easier to stay still where we are than to grow and move forward, right? Like they describe it as it's easy to stay balanced when you're standing still, but when you start to move, it's much easier to fall down. So I think it's fair that people think it's a little scary, but it's important to also understand that it's necessary to grow. Shadow work is really about focusing on the subconscious self. This is typically, the best way to think of it is when you react in such a way and then later when you sit and think, you don't feel connected to that reaction. You're like, man, why did I react like that? Why did I say that? Why did I do that? Those are the types of things that let us know that we really need to do some shadow work around those topics. Shadow work is just finding a way to connect with the subconscious self so that we can understand it and integrate it. When working with tarot, typically shadow work is done in one of three methods. It is meditation, reflecting on emotion, or journaling. Journaling is a really popular one because then you can keep coming back to it. When you use tarot with these methods, you are able to, kind of have the conversation with your deck before you get started. So say it can be, why did I react to that situation like XYZ? Or what needs to be brought to the light? What is it that I'm suppressing? And then you draw your card and you kind of sit with it. And you look at the meaning. And if you aren't experienced with tarot, that is when you have to, bust out your handy-dandy book and kind of flip through it and understand what the card is telling you. And then you start to connect the dots. And so if you're just reflecting on it, you start to kind of go down this rabbit hole in your mind of like, oh, well, the card is saying is this. Well, that reminds me of this. And this, and then you end up going down this, literally it's just a rabbit hole of connected thoughts. And suddenly you have these like epiphanies of things that you never realized were connected in your mind. It's kind of like the scene in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind where they're like jumping through all the memories and stuff. It's like that. When you're doing it with journaling, it's really nice because you're pulling your card and you're really thinking about it, and then you're putting it to paper. And what's nice about putting it to paper is, as I said, you do shadow work in cycles. So when it's on paper and you come back to it later, you can suddenly look at it with a whole new set of fresh eyes from this new healed place, and it can help you dive into what you still want to work on and what you're still trying to understand about that situation. So my preferred method is definitely journaling.
I would think that also in using a method along these lines is it kind of prevents you actually from sugarcoating, I guess, these memories that are coming up and kind of trying to rationalize them, but it really does kind of bring it into focus, so to speak, to start that healing process. Am I following this correctly?
Yeah. I mean, and that's why shadow work needs to be done in a safe space. And that's kind of the first step of shadow work, is making sure you can provide yourself that safe space. You know, you don't want to do shadow work in a crowded restaurant or when you have 10 minutes before you have to leave the house. You know, absolutely getting it done is better than not doing it at all. You know, the phrase, anything worth doing is worth doing wrong. But you always have to be very careful with that, because if it does bring up, you know, trauma or this deeply repressed, horrible thing, you don't want to be running out the door and then spending the rest of your day dwelling on it because you didn't have time to properly sit with it. It can be a lot, but it also can be very liberating, because as we understand these things, we can heal them.
Does it necessarily take a lot of practice to really get into doing this shadow work on an individual basis?
I wouldn't say so. No, I mean, like all things, practice will make progress. So, you know, it's going to feel new and strange if it's not something you've done before. Like, if you haven't done any sort of emotional work like that, or diving into the subconscious reactions to things, it can be very new, and it might feel kind of silly, but I mean, it's just like meditation. The first time you meditate, it kind of feels like you're waiting to fall asleep to take, you know, a nap or something. But then as you do it more, it becomes comfortable and it becomes this really pleasant thing. And shadow work is the same way. The more you do it, the more familiar it becomes, to where it almost becomes something that you can't wait for, because as you do it, if you're having a crappy day, you suddenly understand why you're having a crappy day, and it gets better.
It definitely sounds like it's something, it builds upon itself. And really, as we've been talking through the discussion here, it feels that this would be a huge sort of addition to, I guess you could say, like the traditional allopathic therapeutic methods. You know, if you're seeing a counselor or you're seeing a psychologist, you know, that this is a very good sort of an add-on to almost amplify those benefits.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's something that, like, I'm really lucky. I have a really cool therapist who, like, thinks tarot is super cool. So, like, one day I couldn't decide what I wanted to talk about that day because there were just so many things going on. And I said, you know what? We're pulling a tarot card. And I pulled a tarot card and I showed it to her and I told her what it meant. And I said, all right, so this is telling me that we need to talk about this today. And she was like, good. I think that's the best place to go to. So it really does work with other therapies. And it's important to, you know, state based off of the legislation in the state of Ohio, that I am not a counselor and I'm not a therapist of any form. But I do offer shadow work services for my clients, because sometimes we don't feel like we have the time or the emotional bandwidth for traditional therapy. And it's nice to just kind of get a little bit of direction and why we're feeling the way we're feeling.
You know, that is a fair thing to say, too, is that, you know, while doing the shadow work using the tarot, it's not a replacement. It's an addition. It's something that we can do to bolster and to build and really to prepare ourselves for additional growth and additional revelations, I guess, is another way to put it, too. Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, it goes with really classically with, you know, as above, so below. I mean, if you're going to therapy to heal your mind and your thought processes and your emotions that are tied to that, then doing shadow work to heal your spiritual self, you know, has the same effect on your emotions, but on the spiritual side of things. So it's kind of a way to have all these different tools in your toolbox, because if you completely rely on traditional therapy or one thing to fill your cup, it's kind of going into the idea of filling your cup with many options, because if you only know how to do it one way and for some reason you can't do it that one way, or that one way is taken away from you, you're suddenly back to square one and in a state of, you know, I don't know what to do now. But if we're looking to fill our cup from many different sources and we have all these different things in our toolbox, like it's much easier to heal and to grow.
So it definitely follows in line with, it would definitely be beneficial as an adjunct to, like, for talk therapy and more of the, that relationship building one-to-one conversations more so than as an adjunct to, say, you know, just therapeutic medications.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of depends on the source of the thought patterns and things of that nature. So if you have, you know, intrusive thoughts because you have low dopamine, no amount of shadow work can necessarily fix that, you know? So I recommend having definitely lots of different therapies going on, but it really depends on your own journey. And I think that's an important thing to acknowledge for everyone is that we all have very different paths and very different experiences, and no one path or experience is more valid than the other.
You know, I kind of like the thought too. It feels like in not just in doing tarot for shadow work, but even in just doing tarot for yourself, it helps you to build the relationship with yourself and really kind of embrace your individuality and who you are, and allows you the opportunities for the additional growth that can come from getting in tune with yourself. So I'm very much intrigued by the whole shadow work process, because I'm not going to lie, the first time I started hearing the term shadow work, I had an impression that it was like, I don't know, dark magic, you know, like so that it was going to be, I needed defense against the dark arts or something of that nature. But it truly, I guess I couldn't have had more of a misconception the more I looked into it. And it really is a form for growth, and really dives into your relationship with yourself and the world. And to me, that's really a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it is, you know, the people are scared of their shadow in general, and we shouldn't be. The shadow is there because it's a part of us, and I think that's, like, the most important thing about shadow work is the goal isn't to eliminate your shadow, it's to integrate the shadow. Like, it's a part of you.
Okay. And does it really matter what tarot deck you use in this process?
No. I recommend finding a deck that you just connect to. The artwork speaks to you. The meanings speak to you if you're using a book, things of that nature. Because personally, for me, working with tarot, I have to connect to the deck for my personal development, I should say, I have to connect to the deck. I usually use one deck for like a year when it comes to my personal readings, and then I rotate it out with a different one. Although that has actually changed, because now I have a deck that, this is a total side story, but I have a deck that I use specifically for my shadow work and self-development and no longer use with customers, because I had gotten a paper cut before a reading event. And I actually, like, got blood all over the deck. And my friend was like, oh, don't use that with clients anymore. I was like, it's not hygienic. He was like, oh, no, but it also has your life force. And it was like, oh, that's fair. So I don't use that deck with clients anymore. But the point is to just really pick a deck that speaks to you, that you feel connected to.
Awesome. And Could you walk us through the process? Like, say you were going to do, you know, you're in your safe place, you have some time to yourself, and you are going to do some shadow work with your deck. How does that process work for you? Like, could you walk us through the steps?
Absolutely. So it's like reading tarot any other time. If you have a particular ritual you like to do for that, I definitely recommend doing it. I practice from a secular viewpoint, so I don't have anything involving like calling in the quarters or setting up a circle or anything like that. I'm not working with deity or anything. So I typically, I work with spirit guides and things of that nature. So I will typically light my spirit candle and just kind of make sure I'm comfortable. Recommend everybody always have tissues available because a lot of the time you cry. And then you really just want to sit down with your deck, and you can do it using journal prompts. That's a great question, Dave. I should have thought of that. My spirit candle is a candle I light whenever I am going to be working specifically with spirit. So I don't always use it, but if I am, you know, very specifically working with them, I will light it to let them know, like, hey, you know, I need you. Let's do this. Other times I literally will just be out and about and just call them out by name. But, yeah, it's like a first step, but I don't always do it. So then as I am sitting there with my cards, you can use journaling prompts. You can use there are really great tarot spreads out there by readers such as Moon Mama or Ripe Avocado Witch has great ones. I mean, you can honestly find stuff just via Google or Instagram or things like that, but you can also sit with a particular situation. Say something happened that you're really trying to understand and connect with, and you can just say, you know, what about this situation needs to be brought to light? What am I not seeing or understanding? And then you draw your cards, or you draw three cards and you read them together, and you just kind of sit with the meaning of those cards and what that kind of sends you on in your thoughts, and then you just keep dealing away with it. And, you know, once you're like, okay, well, maybe I wasn't actually angry in that situation. Maybe that anger actually came from a place of fear. Why am I afraid? What are my earliest memories of feeling that type of fear towards that situation? And then you just end up diving deeper and deeper into that rabbit hole. And then you may get to a point where it feels like there's nothing else to pull out of that rabbit hole, and that's where you can kind of, you know, end your time with it, whether you meditate on it or you journal about it. And then in the future, when you come back to it, you'll start there, but you'll find that you get deeper down that rabbit hole until you really find what that's a part of. And then after you have identified it and you've kind of sat with it, you can then start to integrate it so that when you have those thoughts, you already understand, like, oh no, I'm reacting in this way because of this thing that happened to me. I'm going to stop and take a deep breath and make sure that I can respond how I want to respond to the situation, not how I feel like I have to respond to the situation.
So for somebody that's, say, newer to tarot and, you know, still trying to find their footing when it comes to doing a reading for themselves, you know, do we look to the meanings as that they're printed in, like, the little book that comes with most tarot decks, or, you know, are we trying to come up with a closer connection to the cards? You know, are we trying to look at the symbology and saying, okay, so I see this, and this kind of denotes X to me, you know? So, you know, are you building that kind of personal connection with the cards, or is it, you know, or are we more or less building over off of the whole overall meaning of the cards?
So you can absolutely do it both ways, and I recommend doing both. You can read it intuitively, and that is spending time with the card and seeing what jumps out at you. What in the images and the symbolism speaks to you in that? What do the colors feel like to you? What are you getting from the card? Are you seeing people in your life and the people in the cards, things like that? Does it remind you of something? You can absolutely do it that way. That's, you know, reading it intuitively. And then you can also do the dives into the classic meanings and you know, reading the booklet or reading a book, like a really good book for maybe understanding how a card meeting can apply to different situations is Guided Tarot by Stephanie Capone. That one's really good because it's to the point. It's brief, but it's also full of information. And then you can kind of start to understand maybe what the card is suggesting to you that you didn't immediately understand. So it's kind of looking at the whole picture. You want to start by reading it intuitively and getting what you can from it, and then diving into the classic meanings if you don't traditionally know them.
Okay. And so as you pull the cards, you know, you have your deck, you shuffle it, so on and so forth, as you do. You know, is there a particular method that you use? Is it like, do you just do, like, say you're doing a three-card spread, do you use the top three cards off the deck, or, you know, do you do the spread, the fan out and, you know, randomly pick? What do you recommend?
That is all personal preference. And that is something that I think is an important part of acknowledging that everybody's tarot path is different. What I do may not feel comfortable for someone else. So I really encourage that in the workshops, that people sit with the cards and play with them and see what feels comfortable. For me personally, I will shuffle. Depending on the size of the cards, I will, you know, either riffle shuffle them or I will, you know, just do hand-to-hand and flipping them as I go, and then pulling straight off of the top of the deck. But sometimes it feels like I need to do it a different way. And I trust that intuition when that happens, that maybe the card I need to get to is not going to be reached by doing it the way I usually do it. And I follow that feeling in my gut to do it a little different that time. But any way that you choose to pick your cards, if it feels right to you, I recommend doing it because, you know, everybody's path is valid.
Okay. And just so we're clear too, and clarifying for our listeners, it doesn't have to be a spread, right? It can also be just a one card draw if that's the method that you should choose to want to work, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It can be a one-card draw. It can be a three-card draw. Or as you get more conversational with your deck, it might be a 20-card draw. You know, it's just really getting comfortable with the tool. And as your skill set with it grows, it can change and evolve. Or it may always stay one card. It may feel most comfortable doing it that way. So, again, it's just about being open to the experience and letting it grow with you and take you where it is you need to be with it.
Okay, awesome. And for your own journey, have there been any decks that you feel that you yourself have personally resonated with that you've found to be the most beneficial for yourself in your development?
Yes. Yes, actually, and it is the deck that I ended up getting the paper cut and bleeding on years later, so it's kind of funny. That deck is the third deck I ever purchased, and now I have a lot of decks. I don't even know how many decks I have. The last time I counted was 60, but that was a while ago, so I don't even know how many there are now. But I always go back to this deck, and it's the Modern Witch Tarot, and it's by Lisa Sterl, and it was published by Union Square Co. And it's one that I relate to because I will never forget, I'm a Leo sun and moon. And the first time I used the deck and I was talking to the deck more, I drew the Queen of Wands as a card to represent myself. And what was so crazy about it is, you know, she's classically a Leo card. She's, you know, with the lion, she's got the sunflower. And in the modern witch deck, the queen has vitiligo. And it's something I had never seen in any sort of pop culture in general. So nothing I have ever really looked at. Like, it's starting to become more prevalent in, like, the world of modeling and things of that nature. But I'm sitting here holding this card, and I flip it over, and the girl has vitiligo. And it was just, like, this weird moment where, like, I just clicked with the deck. I was like, this is my deck. This is meant to be a deck I use for my growth path. And to this day, like, that's still one that I use a lot. And it's now actually in its own little separate case. And it's the one I use for shadow work. And like I said, I don't use it with clients anymore because of the incident with my friend calling it my life force cracked me up. I was like, yes, my life force is apparently on that deck now. That's great.
I know I'm not personally familiar with the Modern Witch Tarot deck, but I'm definitely going to be looking this up once we have an opportunity to. And you had made a comment earlier about combining your tools while doing shadow work as well with, like, oracle deck, a tarot deck with an oracle deck. How does one go about doing that?
There are a couple of different ways it can be approached, but a lot of people will like to use the oracle decks as clarifiers for the tarot reading. Early in my tarot journal, I would do a mind-body-spirit reading, and I would pull it with both tarot and oracle cards, 3 and 3. And that kind of always stuck with me because it's a really cool way to get a clarifier, because when you're reading something so broadly like that and you're not as connected to the cards, because at that time I was not, it can be a little complicated to understand exactly what the message is. But when you add in additional tools to add to the conversation, it can really clarify things. So say you draw, you know, a tarot card, something like the Fool reversed, which is, you know, classically you're resistant to this new beginning, this new cycle in your life path, things of that nature, depending on how you interpret the Fool. And you're like, well, I don't understand. I don't feel like I'm being resistant. Like, I don't get it. Why do you think I'm being resistant? What's resistant, you know? And then you can pull out a oracle deck and say, well, what do you mean I'm being resistant? Like, what do I need to know about this message? And say the oracle deck is, or the oracle card is something like unplug. That's a nod to, well, you're not really sitting with your emotions. You're distracting yourself with electronic dopamine, basically. And so then you start to understand, oh, got it. I am being resistant to this new change, this new life path, because I am too busy looking up my ex-boyfriend on Instagram and seeing what he's doing. You know, like, it just, silly little nods like that are little extra bits to clarify exactly what the reading is trying to tell you, especially for people who maybe don't get as deep with the tarot or who aren't working with some sort of spiritual guidance or don't have a clair or haven't developed their intuition. It can be very helpful for making the message a little bit clearer.
See, I find this fascinating, you know, when you really to get down to it, where you're talking about, you know, I'm not resisting. Who's resisting? I ain't resisting. And the oracle card calls out a passive behavior that you wouldn't even consider. That to me just, that's a fantastic use of the two tools while doing this kind of work. That's fantastic, really fantastic. And you did mention, too, the full reversed. And I was going to ask, you know, do reversals come into play in this situation, in these situations, and how do we handle the reversals?
That is going to come down to personal preference. And that's something I actually always tell people in the first workshop is I recommend reading reversals. I think the important part about reversals is that there is an up and a downside to every situation. And it's a disservice to yourself to ignore reversals. But with reading reversals or reading, you know, uprights only or things of that nature, it really also depends on if you are open to what the total meaning of the card is. I personally enjoy reading reversals because when you read a reversal, it can be a nod to either, you know, the classic opposite meaning of the card, but it can also refer to the meaning of the card on a personal reflection versus an external reflection. So it can help you dive a little bit deeper within. So I am a big advocate for reading reversals, but I certainly do not judge or think it's an invalid path for someone to not read reversals.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I know for myself personally, I've been a very big fan of Mary Greer's books on tarot and in her book on tarot reversals. And there is a lot of information in these reversals that we really need to hone and to pay attention to. It happened for a reason, in my estimation.
Absolutely.
But again, much like you said, I've met many readers who don't utilize the reversal, and their accuracy is they're just the same. And so I do grant that as well. So what other you also mentioned using a pendulum in with working with the tarot as well. How do you go about doing that?
Pendulums are really great because they allow you to continue the conversation. So it depends on your personal belief systems, of course. But pendulum in this context would require believing that you're speaking to something on the other side of that pendulum, whether it be your subconscious or your spirit guides or, you know, divinity or whatever it is that you believe in. And as you're having that conversation about the topic, you're asking yes or no questions and going deeper and just really being open to where it's trying to guide you. You know, if you believe that you're speaking with your subconscious self, it's, you know, you're asking those yes or no questions to try to understand what it is. And even sometimes just at the end of the reading, just saying, you know, is this everything I can currently uncover about this? Is this everything I can bring to light currently?
That's actually an excellent use too. You know, to tell you, do I need to dive a little bit deeper? Just a little bit deeper. But sometimes, you know, you might think that you've asked every question, every poignant word has crossed your lips, and you're done with that reading, and then you glance down and you go, oh shit, there's more, and you're right back into it. So
right.
That's actually
Absolutely.
A great use of adding that pendulum in there. You know, there was a question in the chat about does it matter whether the cards are selected randomly, meaning do you feel that you can benefit from just looking through the deck and kind of making up a reading while doing the shadow work?
So my question there, do you mean it in the sense of selecting randomly from like a fanned out like layout, or do you mean like looking at the images and pulling them out?
Looking at them, more or less like you're looking at the pictures and going, oh, I want this one in my reading. I want this one in my reading.
Okay. So I think there is something to that, especially if you're doing it from an intuitive standpoint because you don't understand what the cards mean. But the word of caution there is that you have to be at a place where you can read without bias and read without ego. So if you are asking a question and then you decide that, you know, you want the Lover's card because you don't want to heal from this, you know, abusive relationship you're refusing to get out of, and you're like, no, Lover's card, I want, this is what I want it to be about, this is, you know, this is what I want, well, then you're not really doing the shadow work. You're still staying in ego. You're still reading it with bias. So that can be a bit of a pitfall for shadow work. That said, if you're doing it from an intuitive standpoint and just trying to understand what that card pulls out of you, it can still have its place. It just, it can be very, very tricky if you can't read without bias.
Very interesting. And actually, this cat made a really interesting point in the chat. She says that those, in her experience, those who do not read reversals come out of playing card reading, and they pay great attention to adjacent cards, which pretty much is just an older way of reading. Before, like, things like the Celtic Cross and stuff like that came to be and kind of predominate almost. I think every tarot book that comes with every deck at least has some form of the Celtic Cross layout. But that's really an interesting point too. And also another question is, while you're doing this work and you're going down these rabbit holes, is it possible to go too deep? And is there a time, do you feel that there's a time that you may need to seek the advice of another, like a guide or a teacher?
So typically with shadow work, there is a point where you can be either going too deep or hitting a wall, and it's kind of time to back off for a little bit and just let yourself heal and sit with where you're at instead of continuing to try to push. So absolutely, we want to work through hard things, but at the same time, everybody has a breaking point. And if you're finding that the topic is either not really developing further for you, or you're finding that it's just becoming re-traumatizing, then it's time to kind of back off a little bit and just sit with where you are now and know that, you know, it's kind of in line with that whole idea of self-acceptance and self-love is like, maybe you're not where you want to be with the topic or the trauma or the healing, but it's also about celebrating the fact that you are on that path. It's celebrating how far you have come, even if it's not where you want to be, and spending some time just seeing how you feel before you dive back into it again.
Interesting, interesting. I think that we can take this allegorically also to, like, almost as if, like, if you're training for a marathon or something, you know, when you've pushed yourself too hard and you need to back off, you know, you don't want to cause yourself physical injury. Much the same can be said of performing shadow work using these tools. Is the goal is to heal and progress and to be able to, well, run that marathon, not to cause yourself additional trauma, additional stress, additional anxiety, depression, and really kind of feed into those realms of, you know, of the mind, but to keep, to know thy limits, I guess is the best way to put it.
Absolutely. That is, I absolutely agree with that.
This has really been an interesting examination of the use of the tarot. I as a reader myself, this hasn't been necessarily, I guess, an avenue that I've explored. And I really feel kind of pushed now to really, you know, I guess add another branch to my readings for myself, and really to understand the use of the cards as this tool. Could you just let me put it as vague terms. Could you speak a little bit to like the successes that you've seen, you know, any breakthroughs that you might want to share that came from your work like that, using the tarot for shadow work?
Do you mean for me personally or for clients?
Whatever you'd like to share.
Okay. For me personally, I have worked through a lot of, in the past, there has been a lot of programs that I had from childhood. I do have CPTSD, so that's childhood post-traumatic stress disorder. And with that, I have a parent who is a narcissist, and I have had to do a lot of deprogramming as an adult. And traditional therapy can only do so much, because traditional therapy can guide you and validate you, but it's not the same thing as spending the time sitting with your own mind and delving into it. So I've had to use a lot of therapy, a lot of shadow work therapy to kind of work within my own place of self-doubt and my own program from having that narcissistic parent where nothing is ever good enough, you know, where if it's not 100%, then it's a zero. And I think a lot of us get stuck in that type of mindset because of the society we live in and the hustle culture. And so it's just been really, really helpful for me to understand that I can celebrate little wins even when I'm not where I want to be. And, you know, I don't have to be afraid of failure or trying. And shadow work has been really important for me as a parent to not repeat that narcissism or any of those program
nice
tendencies.
Point.
I shouldn't say narcissism because I'm not a narcissist. So, but we learn from what is modeled for us. And so we can pick up those tendencies and pass them on and repeat cycles. And it's been really important to me to not do that. So it's been really important to continuously do the shadow work on the programs that I have. And that allows me to not only, you know, gentle parent and like advocate for my child, but then I can also kind of heal my own inner child in that way. And so I feel like that has been a huge success, because not only am I able to understand and integrate my shadow, I'm also connecting and healing with my inner child. And then, you know, then from there I can start working on my angsty inner teen who's just mad all the time. So it kind of becomes this really amazing process of where, as you start to heal one part of yourself, all of these dominoes start to fall in a good way. And it's really allowed me to be, you know, a better mother and a better wife and a better friend. And then also just a better tarot reader, both in my abilities, because it's been imperative to work through self-doubt and things of that nature to, you know, trust in the message I'm getting from spirit. But then it also allows me to not read for others with a bias. I'm not an ego. I'm not flying my own experience or perspective, because I'm open to what the card is telling me about their path and their spirit, and you know, what they have going on. So it's been a really important part of, you know, my journey, just overall in every aspect of my life.
You know, thank you so much for sharing that. That's, you know, to me, using the tarot as a tool in this manner, it almost feels as though it would be even more beneficial than, say, progressing along to, you know, in trying to do the meditation work and such. As, you know, as somebody that I've led meditation groups, meditation circles, I've you know, instructed in meditation, it's really hard to get past the what they call the monkey mind when you're doing it. And to have the tangible tool in front of you to draw that focus, I think it really feels as though, from what you've presented to us so far, that this is almost an ideal tool for this purpose, for the purpose of shadow work. You know, I'm kind of amazed at this point. I'm a little bit stumbling on my words because so much, I've learned so much in such a short amount of time tonight. I can't thank you enough, really, for bringing this to our listeners and into the world. And I truly want to say how much you inspire me on a daily basis. You say about, you know, your work with shadow work has helped you to be a better wife and mother and friend. I, for one, am blessed to be able to call you my friend.
You got to get me all in my fields here. Ugh, okay. I am just really, really excited to be here with you and to watch your journey and to see, you know, everything that you've done, because it's a mutual feeling. Like it has been very inspiring to watch you, you know, step away from things and follow your own path. And I don't know, it's mutually inspiring. It's like, I know that you had to overcome your own hurdles to get to the beautiful place that you are now. And it's been helpful to me in my moments of doubt to know that, like, not only do you get it, but I can, you know, message you pretty much any time and be like, this is happening and I don't know what to do. So it's a great thing. It's a great thing to have, you know, our chosen family and our sense of community.
Well, thank you for that. You know, we are kind of getting close to the end of the show. We have just about 10 minutes remaining. There is another question that we have in the chat. That how might shadow work be integrated into a religious path? Is it more compatible with some than with others? That's an intriguing thought.
That is an intriguing thought, and it is a tricky one. It really is tricky because it kind of depends on, and I have to be careful here because I don't want to answer from my own personal bias. Again, this gets into, I don't want to answer from my bias or my experience or my religious trauma specifically, that it can be aligned with a religious path if that religious path is a part of who you feel you are. Because when it comes down to it, shadow work is all about self. And if that religious path is a part of yourself, then it is absolutely something that will probably come up. You can absolutely call upon your saints or your gods and your goddesses or your divine beings to help guide you during your shadow work time or to protect you or to speak to you. It's not something that I personally do or have experience with, but I could absolutely see where that would come from. I mean, it comes with the idea that many of us who, you know, if you grew up with a Christian household, you pray every night and you speak to God. I mean, it's kind of a similar idea, only the difference is we take responsibility for what is happening instead of saying, you know, the classic, God take the wheel. where you're kind of saying, you know, this is happening and I am requiring you to intervene. It's saying, no, this is happening and I have to figure out why it's happening and what I can do about it to change it. What is in my path that I can change?
You know, that's actually kind of an interesting correlation somewhat to even be able to pull this all together into if it makes us feel comfortable to be able to pull this into almost a ritual sense as well with, you know, Archangel Michael, watch over me as I do this. You know, if that's in your wheelhouse and something that you're comfortable with, that is definitely something that you can integrate in. And it also drew another correlation for me, you know, as a member of AIR and a root worker, you know, about, you know, a lot of people look to magic to be the end-all be-all to resolve a situation and completely abdicate their role in the process. You know,
Absolutely. It's that
you can't just expect sympathetic magic or magic to resolve the situation. Is you have to take some action yourself, and it's really intriguing to me how all of these pieces have fit together tonight in this discussion.
Absolutely. I mean, shadow work falls under doing the mundane for the magic, right? You have to do the mundane for the magic to be able to do its thing. You can't, you know, say, oh, I want to get a job and do prosperity magic without going out there and putting in applications and not leaving your house. You know, it's the same thing. You can't say, oh, I want to find my dream job and not know anything about yourself to know what your dream job even is. So it all kind of works together.
It kind of like for me to apply for some sort of a computer job, and I know nothing about computers. Everybody knows about me that art plus technology equals tragedy usually.
Tragedy explosion. Not a good time.
So that was actually a great example, though, is, you know, you can't expect to find and land your dream job if you're not applying or applying yourself and you haven't done the legwork to be able to walk into that position. So none of these tools work independently in and of themselves without our input, without our taking some level of action to support the overall process. And that's so important, really, to bring out.
Absolutely.
You know, and that also goes with the therapy and, you know, going to talk to a therapist or psychologist. All of it, that level of responsibility is paramount, for lack of a better word.
Absolutely.
But we have roughly about 4 minutes left. Is there anything that you would like to share with us before we take it out for the evening?
I would say it kind of came up a little bit earlier. The deck that is down in the image carousel, the shadow work deck, and why I included that in our topic is because it is such a fantastic way to kind of get started if you're unfamiliar with shadow work. Mary is such a cool human being, and she actually leads a lot of workshops where she lives. But her deck is just like beautiful process that came together over the course of a couple of years. And there are days that like I can't even begin to get a tarot deck out to do the shadow work, but like I can always pull a shadow work card and get that affirmation and kind of dive into maybe why I'm not feeling the message that I get. So I think I actually meant to touch on it more earlier when we were speaking of Oracle cards, but it's definitely been an amazing tool to add into the shadow work journey. And I really recommend it, especially for people who are just starting their shadow work journey.
And the name of that deck again was?
It's called the Shadow Work Deck.
Let's see if I can find a link for it real quick here.
It's just shadowworkdeck.com.
Shadow Work.
Yep, I can pop it into chat.
Now it's a race to see who can get there first.
I already did it.
Well, see, there's prime example of art and technology. This discussion tonight has really been phenomenal, and I really look forward to watching as the Solar Moon Sisters continue to grow and you provide these opportunities for everybody to grow and learn, you know, get in touch with themselves and truly build the connections between, you know, mind, body, spirit. You've done an amazing amount of work so far. And I know your hustle, and it's only going to get better from here. So if anybody isn't currently following you on social media, I can guarantee it's going to be the place to be for a very long time to come.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah, I'm really excited to see where it grows and takes us as we go, because, you know, I'm here for it. You know, I'm here for wherever the path takes me as it continues to show me, you know, exactly how I can fulfill this life purpose.
I know I, for one, will be watching for the online courses to come about. I'll definitely be signing up, signing in, and tuning in to hear all of the wonderful things that you have to share with everybody.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm really excited about that. Hopefully we can get those up sooner than later. The last workshop is in April, so if I can get it all together, those should be hopefully available in May. We'll see.
Outstanding. All right. Well, we are coming up on the end of the show. So that's about an hour. Actually, that's all the time we do have for tonight. So I hope everybody's enjoyed their time with us this evening. And until next time we meet, let's keep that magic alive. Hey, Reverend James, take us out.
Thank you, Reverend Art, and thank you, Miss Elizabeth of SolarMoonSisters.com in Cincinnati, Ohio, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Bewitching Bee Magical Supply will be Deborah Voice of BewitchingBee.com in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, discussing healing through soul retrieval. We've come to the end of this week's episode of Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and on the LMC Radio Network. You can find Reverend Art at BoltConjure.com, on the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, on readersandrootworkers.com, and on Hoodoo Psychics Thursdays and Fridays from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Saturdays and Sundays from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from folkconjure.com in North Carolina. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And the shows are available in archive via mysticsmages.com/radio show and on the Lucky Mojo Forum. From all of us at Mystics and Mages, I'd like to thank you for being here. Be sure to follow at Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places on Facebook and at Mystics, Mages, Magical Places, no and, on Instagram for updates and news. We'll be back next week at the same time. Come sit a spell. Wink, wink. Relax and enjoy the show. We've only just begun.
Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.